What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast.
Hey, y'all, and I'm JJ.
Hey, guys, I'm Kat.
And we've got the whole gang back together for this episode.
Yeah.
Super excited to have Kat and JJ here. And we're excited to have our guest on tonight, somebody that had listened to a couple of our episodes and wanted to come on and share their experience with the supernatural. Jordan, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jordan, where are you from? What part of the country are you? I almost said calling in from tonight, like we're a radio station.
Right here in the Midwest, in the middle of Indiana.
Okay, awesome. Very cool. I have spent some time in Indiana, and JJ, you're from the Midwest as well, right? Kansas?
Yeah, I don't know if, do you count Kansas as the Midwest, Jordan?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
There's like some people who I grew up believing it's Midwest, but there's some people who I think are like Midwest snobs, and it's like a very exclusive club to be in the Midwest. And they say, no, that's the Great Plains region. And I'm just like, no, that's, no one knows what that is. So, I claim Midwest, but
isn't the real test like if you bump into someone and you're like,
Yeah, exactly. I hate how much I catch myself saying that, because I read it somewhere the first time someone pointed it out, and I notice it all the time. I can't even help it.
That's so funny. My wife is from the Midwest, and I have noticed, like, she one time when we first started dating, she lived in an apartment, and that exact scenario happened where, like, her neighbor and her, like, almost bumped into each other. He's like, oh, and then they started talking, and then we went into her apartment. And I was like, is he from the Midwest? And she's like, how'd you know? And I was just like, I mean,
it's like such a passive aggressive, like, but it works. And I do it all the time.
It's not even like, I mean, we have like a different kind of passive aggressiveness in the Midwest than the South does, for sure. But like, I don't think Ope is passive aggressive. I sincerely mean every Ope that I say.
Sometimes I do it if I don't want to be rude, but I want them to know that, like, whoa, you kind of got in my way.
Well, I know,
like, when JJ's driving and there's a red light, and maybe he doesn't see it, I'll be like, oh.
Yeah, that's passive aggressive. So
helpful.
So I am curious, because I brought this up to JJ and Kat once, because JJ is from the Midwest and he had not heard of it. Jordan, have you been leaf peeping before? And do you know what that is?
I do not know what that is, no.
Okay, you know what? My wife is making me sound like some kind of a tree pervert. Nobody knows what it is. And her whole family thought I was crazy because I'd never heard of leaf peeping. But it's when, obviously, when the seasons change and the leaves change colors and they drive around and look at trees. I didn't know that was a thing.
The color is peeping out. But I've never heard, like, let's go tree peeping.
Well, leaf peeping. I mean, leaf, I guess you could peep the trees, technically.
I mean, I've definitely done that. I've never heard of the terminology before, though.
And not everyone in the Midwest is like that, Noah. Jeez.
Well, Jordan, so one thing we do like to find out as we kind of get started into this episode, where you fall on the supernatural scale, kind of like our believe-o-meter, 0 meaning you don't believe in ghosts at all, and 10 meaning ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
I maybe like a 7 or 8, because I've had a lot of weird experiences, but I don't know. They're just something I can't 100% say for sure. You know, that I think there's definitely something out there. For me, I guess it's more about what it is.
It's real interesting as the world kind of turns and we're getting more information on UFOs and stuff. Yeah. JJ, I know that's got to get you pretty excited.
I'm so excited. I mean, I can tell you, I've spent hours on like just internet rabbit holes going through old UFO footage that like keeps getting released. It's so great.
I would like to start being included in the JJ aliens. I want you to say Kat and JJ, because I mean, there's no way aliens are not real.
Yeah, Kat gets it too.
Like, seriously,
you're say there's no way aliens are real, and I was like, this is interesting. Continue.
But they totally are. Like, we'll watch 10 minutes of like a space documentary and I'll turn to JJ and be like, how did we even meet? Because we're so small in this universe compared to everything else. Like, you know what I mean? I just get really deep, but I'm like, it's true. We're so small and the galaxy is so intense. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's not life out there.
Well, I think to jump on the alien train, I'm going to try to book us some UFO guests coming up. So we'll see what's out there. So Jordan, I saw in the email that you sent over that you had some supernatural experiences at your grandparents' house when you were younger. Was that kind of your introduction to the supernatural?
Yeah, it was. My grandpa and grandma always lived in the same house my whole life. I spent my summers there and I lived there for 2 or 3 years. So I had a lot of time in the house. And when I was real young, grandpa always used to kind of tease me and he would tell me, hey, there's ghosts in the basement, so stay out of there. But
classic grandpa.
Yeah. I think honestly, he just wanted to have the TV to himself because at the time it was the only TV they had with a remote. So
yes, that's 100% why he did it. I think that.
Well, say the first experience I can remember happening that something weird or creepy happened was I was real young, probably, I don't know, between 8 and 10, something like that. My cousins were over and I think we were playing tag and I was running, ran down towards the basement and they were like a little bit behind me a bit. And I looked back over my shoulder to see where they were and the basement door like slammed closed behind me and all the lights shut off at the same time. And I turned around and was trying to open the door and I couldn't get it open until finally, like a couple seconds later, they came and opened it and asked like why I was so scared. But
and was there anything on the other side of the door? I assume that's like the first thing you looked for when you opened it.
Yeah, nothing. No, it just the stairs going down into the basement. And that's about it.
Were there any windows open or like any drafts coming through?
It could have been, honestly. Like I said, this was like 20 years ago, but it's just...
Right. You don't remember if the window was open? No, I'm just kidding. How old again were you when that happened?
It's hard to say, really, but probably somewhere around 10 or 11, something like that.
Did you try to tell your grandparents what happened? And if so, did they believe you?
I don't know if I mentioned like that particular thing, but it's kind of weird to talk about. You know, you hear a lot of these stories and you ask, you know, what did everyone say about it? And like the truth is, like, we just didn't talk about it much.
Yeah.
Like grandma was very prim and proper Christian lady. And she'd say there's no such thing as ghosts except for the Holy Ghost. And she just didn't like to talk about it. And grandpa had stories of his own, but at the same time would like dismiss everything that happened as nonsense, you know? So like a lot of the weird things that happened just didn't get talked about.
So you had that experience. I know you also had some experiences that were really spooky, like within your bedroom. Can you tell us about that?
A lot of the main experiences that I remember that like really sticked out in my mind happened when I was a teenager. My grandpa passed away in 2006, and my grandma every year would go on a church trip to Mexico. So this happened, the first thing happened when I was alone in the house. I was upstairs in, we had like the computer room / library, and I was playing video games in the computer. And there under the desk was a vent, and it shares a vent with my bedroom. And I started hearing these weird voices coming through the vent. And like, I stopped and like, you know, muted the computer. And I was trying to make out what they're saying and I couldn't hear what they were saying, but it was like lots of different voices and it sounded like a conversation. And sometimes they would get louder, sometimes it'd be quieter and then it'd be different voices. And after a minute, like I heard a laugh track and I realized like it's the TV flipping through channels. Yeah. Well, it gets better. Like I was really scared that time. I thought like somebody had to have broken into the house or something. And maybe I didn't hear him because there are like outside stairs that go down into the basement. And I thought like maybe somehow someone got that door open and I didn't know it. So like I called a friend on the phone just to feel like maybe I'm not alone. And I grabbed a knife. I don't know what I thought I was going to do, but like I ran down there to check it out. And when I got down there, the TV was turned off and unplugged, but it didn't get any channels to begin with. I only had it like hooked up in the bedroom so I could play PlayStation.
Was it unusual for the TV to have been Well, okay, I'm going to ask a question, but first I just want to say, I don't know if you heard it on your end, but there was some weird, scary, demonic sounds
yeah.
while you were speaking, which just for our listeners, you're going to be listening to this, and it's going to be so beautifully edited by Noah that you're not going to know that we've been having some audio and internet connection issues. So I'm like pretty certain that that's what.
But the second that we said no, it literally shouted back at us, and my heart jumped out of my mouth, and I grabbed JJ's arm.
We both jumped so much. I mean, mine might have.
I don't know if you guys put stock into this or not. But my wife is like pulling tarot cards, and they kind of said that something is messing with you.
What?
Okay. What?
We need what? Wait a second. We need your wife to come explain that.
Yeah. Can you come over? Yeah, I think she's willing.
That would be great. I have never really understood tarot cards, and is something messing with us right now?
Also, I think it's so amazing that your wife is pulling tarot cards to check the status of this podcast recording.
Well, like last night we had some friends over and we're planning a big trip to a haunted house, which Jordan can talk to you about. My uncle owns the Whispers Estate in Mitchell, Indiana. So if you guys ever want to come check it out, feel free. It's one of the most haunted places in America. And we had friends over and we were outside like ghost boxing and like we were getting some weird stuff and like Jordan couldn't find his headphones and they just like plopped out of the sky. Like we looked all over for them. So whenever we start having electronic issues, I have my cards down here. I was like, I'm going to pull and see like what's messing with them. And I pulled the Eight of Swords, which is like you're trapped and being tricked and being messed with. Yeah, like whatever's messing with you. I just pulled like Six of Swords reverse. Does not want you to continue with this. Like that's literally like a journey card, like upside down. Like don't go on this journey.
That noise keeps happening, and I keep jumping out of my skin. Are you guys hearing that, or is it just on our end?
No, I hear it.
Yeah, you got a male spirit that's not very happy that you're doing this. Just be strong. I pulled the strength card.
This is fascinating.
Wait, can I ask how you got into doing tarot?
No.
Stop it. Watch Hellier. You ever watch Hellier?
Wait, so real quick. When you guys use Zoom at home, do you ever have these issues?
Never. I use it regularly for my women's writing society, obviously. Like we use it like every month multiple times. And I've never once had that problem. Never.
Now it sounds like someone is like
shuffling cards.
Or JJ.
Oh no, I'm shuffling my cards.
I thought it was typing. I was like, is someone typing while we're like?
No, I'm shuffling the cards.
Oh, okay, that explains that noise.
That's so
wait,
funny.
Now it sounds like somebody's on the other end of this phone call.
Alrighty, so let's steer back into the story. All right, Jordan. So. We're at the now. Is this still at your grandparents' house? Did you grow up in that house?
My mom and dad were divorced. They split custody, and my mom moved about every year. My dad moved around a bunch. So, like, okay. Grandma's house was like the constant growing up because I would spend my summers there off of school. And I think I lived there for like 2 years from like 16 to 18 or something like that.
And so was that the house where you had the incident in when you were in your bed and then something happened? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was, I like having my bed up against the wall, always have. It just makes me comfortable. And it wasn't any different when I lived there. So at the time, I was talking to the girl I was dating on the phone, and I was laying on my bed, facing the wall as close as I could get to it. Like my nose is touching the wall. And as we were talking, I felt like the center of the bed just very slowly depressed, like someone had laid down next to me. And then, I don't know, like 2 or 3 minutes later, it got right back up, you know, just as slow as it went down, it went up, like whoever was there got up.
At that point in your life, were you like still like a 7 or 8 believing in ghosts?
Yeah, probably.
Like when that happened, it was like so evident that you were like, that literally was a person laying down and getting back up.
That's yeah, I think in like in the moment, in that instance, I didn't have any doubts, you know.
Right.
Did you ever look into any history in the home to see if maybe somebody had passed in the home or there had been any trauma surrounding the home?
Well, there was a little bit of trauma. Yeah. My grandpa was not my grandpa by blood. Him and my grandma got married when I was like 2, I think. So he was grandpa to me. I knew him my whole life, but I only say that to say that grandpa was married before he married my grandma. And he was married to a woman named Wilma. The only thing I really know about Wilma, because like nobody really talked about her much other than like the 2 stories, was that she had a really bad drinking problem. And grandpa didn't approve. So she would go to the liquor store and get whatever she liked to drink, bring it home, and it'd be like in the brown paper bag. And I guess she thought it was too loud. So when she'd be in a room drinking, she would make these loud, exaggerated coughing noises, like to kind of try to cover it up. Mm-hmm. And grandma would say, "Hey, you're coughing again." It's like, "I know what you're doing." And after she passed away, he told me that he would occasionally still hear that coughing coming from her room. The way that Wilma died, and I'm not entirely sure, I just don't know if it was an accident, like a really bad accident, or if it was the worst way you could possibly commit suicide, but she drank a bunch of bleach.
Wow.
Oof.
Yeah. And I don't think she didn't die in the house, but I think she died like the next day or something like that. And grandpa was so mad that he didn't even go to see her in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
So sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I mean, I never met her.
Well, and then something happened after your grandfather passed away too, right?
Yeah. Except again, the girl I was dating at the time, she had like a family emergency one night and didn't have anywhere to sleep. And we had her come over to our house. And of course, like we were teenagers and grandma wasn't obviously going to let us sleep in the same room. So she was upstairs in grandpa's old room and I was downstairs in the basement. And I got up in the morning and she was gone. And I called her and was asking, you know, what happened. And said she couldn't sleep. She was tossing and turning all night. And I think it was storming. And at one point she rolled over. I don't know if it was storming or not. Maybe she saw it in a flash of light, but she saw he had a dresser with a big mirror on top of it. And she saw standing behind her was Grandpa. And she hadn't met him, but she described everything about him perfectly, down to even he was in like the Navy. And he had a habit of kind of standing like in the at ease pose and I guess resting bitch face, for lack of a better term.
like so many old photos.
Yeah. And she said, like, you know, he looked angry and, you know, it scared her. And she just ran out of the house and left. Wow. Overnight.
I mean, it certainly seems like that home is haunted. Do you still have that home in your family or what? Where is it now?
Yeah, my dad lives there now with his wife.
Does he experience anything or has?
Yeah, he has.
Really?
Everyone that was ever in that house for any period of time has their own story. I had a friend who like saw a face floating in an empty room. Dad has his own stories. Grandma passed away in the summer of 2018. And he kept the house and he lives there. And he was outside working one day in the yard about a week after she passed. And he felt like compelled to turn around, and he turned around and Grandma was standing there. Grandma, you know, when she was staying in for the night, she'd wear like a house coat, a robe, and had her hair up in curlers. And that's how she was dressed. And Dad always teased her, and he's like, "You know, Mom, you're supposed to be in heaven, but like that's how you're dressed."
Well, Kat and JJ, I'm curious, what would you two wear to heaven if you had to like wear one thing forever? What would be your wardrobe?
I if there's JJ a heaven, I would be naked. Yeah.
God damn it.
I really don't like clothes. So,
I keep forgetting that you want to be a nudist. I always forget that.
Literally, yeah. He would thrive. Yeah. It's my worst nightmare. And he would thrive.
Oh, I sacrifice, but it's all right.
We'd appreciate your sacrifice.
I, for the rest of forever in heaven, what I wear, probably like a really comfortable set of like silk pajamas.
Yeah.
Or like a comfy dress or like something. I don't know.
Yeah. Silk pajamas would be my next choice if I couldn't go nude.
Although you can't go wrong with like an oversized sweater and leggings. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I would go like sweatpants with some nice Jordans and a
basically hoodie.
I always forget about your obsession with shoes, Noah. Yeah,
I have so many.
Basically, what we're saying is none of us want to wear hard pants.
No.
No more forever. Hard pants. Death to hard pants.
No.
So I feel like this is the episode off topic, but while we're on the subject of nudity, I do have a question, JJ. Have you ever been to that nudist colony in Georgia?
No, I don't know about
this. You go to a nudist colony. Sorry, Jordan. I feel like we're really off.
Oh, you're fine.
I think we were on some sort of vacation with my mom and her friend Kathy.
Sounds like a great vacation.
And like my two sisters, and we were like under 18, all of us. Uh-huh. And my mom was like, her and her friend are really goofy, and well, they're goofy when they're together. Yeah. And I remember is my mom and her playing chicken, being like, okay, let's go to the nudist colony. And the other one was like, okay, fine, let's go. And they took us to the entrance of it and like talked to someone through the thing to see how much a room was. And I was like preparing myself to be, I was like, do we have to be naked? Like wear a bathing suit. My sister was like, it'll be okay. Like, I remember us going, but we did not. We ended up turning around. Wow.
Well, I don't think we'll be making a real hauntings trip there. I don't know if we need to all get to know each other that well, but I was curious.
No, nothing.
One thing from your email that really caught my eye was the purple mommy. Can you tell us about that?
It was when my son was like first learning to talk. He was three. He would tell us, little tidbits here and there about something that he was calling purple mommy. And we got all of this information over the course of like a couple years, maybe. And just some of the things is purple mommy was all purple. And at the time he confused like the colors purple and black. So she might have been all black. She had bright white eyes. She had no smile, which means no mouth. She didn't have a mouth. One point he said that she needed a bandage because she had a bunch of blood. He said that purple mommy picks him up at night, and was interesting because he was still in a crib, and then we would occasionally, like in the mornings, find him outside of the crib. Yeah. So he would have to be, like climbing up over it and getting out without hurting himself or making any noise. He said that purple mommy turns his light off, and even though he's terrified of the dark at the time, he would be, we'd wake up in the morning and his lights would be off. Whenever we asked him where purple mommy was, he would always point to the same space, like, because we kept like his closet door was always open, and there was like a space in between the wall and the closet door, and he'd always point to that corner back there. That's where purple mommy lived. Purple mommy really didn't like me, apparently. And once or twice he was in his room playing and like ran out and was pretty upset and said that she was in there.
Wait, so how do you know that purple mommy didn't like you?
He told me.
Like, he was just like, purple mommy didn't like you? Or was there anything like more specific to that? Or just she really didn't like you?
We asked him. If purple mommy, because I remember we asked him if he liked mommy, and if she liked mommy, and she did, and does she like daddy? And it was no. It was a big no.
Yeah. Did you ever feel like you ever heard or saw anything in her room?
No. No, nothing. We lived in that apartment for about 5 years. And other than him like talking about all that, nothing weird happened that I can remember.
Sorry, him. And since that time period, is he somebody that is kind of like gifted with the supernatural, or was this kind of a one-off experience?
It was kind of a one-off thing. He definitely doesn't like to talk about it, though. Like, to this day, he will not discuss it.
He still remembers it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. He gets like visibly upset and doesn't want to talk about it if we ever ask him.
Gotcha. Man, I can imagine why. That is honestly like one of the creepiest things I've ever heard.
Yeah. Well, he was
so scary.
He was having like a really, he used to wake up like between 12 and 1 every night. But there was one night he was having like a really rough night. He was tossing, he was turning, he was crying, he was kind of yelling. And my wife went in there to ask him what's wrong. And he said, "Purple Mommy won't let me sleep."
Oh,
that is so creepy.
Well, yeah, just the phrasing "Purple Mommy," like if I was watching YouTube or Netflix horror shorts or something, I would just expect one of them to be named Purple Mommy. Like that just,
right, it's a great name.
Yeah, it's super creepy. Okay, well, I mean, man, those are some great stories. I'm glad you shared those with us. Pretty horrifying. So the Whispers Estate, I know you and your wife had mentioned that when we were like trying to figure out audio and stuff. Can you kind of tell us where it is, what it is, and your experiences with the supernatural there?
Yeah, sure. The Whispers Estate is what they've named this old house in a town called Mitchell, Indiana. It was built, I think, in like the late 1800s by a doctor who worked there, who lived in the town. So he ran his practice out of there. And whatever your thoughts on the paranormal or supernatural may be, like believe in ghosts or not, the house is just unfortunate because there's been like 17, I want to say, deaths of people who have lived there, known deaths. And that does not include patients that died of the doctor. And in fact, there were like actual somewhere around 4 or 5 bodies that ended up getting buried on the property. They recovered 2 of them. They think 2 of them are still there. What happened is like some people had bought the house and opened it up to like paranormal investigations. And, they decided that they were done with it. And my wife's uncle, who would go there a lot, actually purchased it. And so my wife has been there 5 or 6 times, and I've been there twice. And a lot of interesting stuff happens in the house. The last time I was there, like something touched me. And I just never in my life thought that something like that would happen to me. But
how did you know it was supernatural related when you were touched? I mean, can you kind of walk us through all of that experience?
We were doing ghost boxing. And if you're not familiar with the ghost box, it's just a little AM/FM radio that scans between stations really quick. And if you hear any words come out of there, if you can pick anything up, like ostensibly that's supposed to be like, you know, spirit communication or whatever. And we do it, again, it comes from Hellier, but we do what's called the Estes method. So like I'll be on the box and I'll have headphones plugged into it. And on top of those headphones, I have noise canceling headphones. So I can't hear the questions anybody else is asking, because if we're all listening to it, like you're going to be like looking for an answer that makes sense. Right. And this way, like I'm just saying what I hear, and sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. But we were doing that, and I was sitting next to the wall in a big chair, and I had my legs crossed. I had it like my left ankle sitting on top of my right knee. And as I was sitting there talking, it felt like a finger touched my other knee, my left knee, and just kind of slid over it. Yeah, it freaked me out. And like, I stopped for a second and pulled it off, and everyone was asking if I'm okay. Do you want to keep going? And, you know, I decided let's keep going because this is really interesting. I love doing the ghost box. And the first thing it said when I put it back on was, got your leg.
What?
Yes.
Wow, that's really spooky. So you're a firm believer then, it sounds like, in the ghost box themselves. You do think that's like a worthwhile activity when trying to determine if the supernatural is real?
Mm-hmm.
I like that you have a method of, you know, canceling out the noise so you don't hear the questions, because, you know, like you said, confirmation bias is a huge thing. So if you hear the questions, you can kind of like predict or look for the what you want to hear. So has there been anything where like someone asked a question, you had absolutely no way of knowing what question was asked, and then an answer came through that was like so obviously targeted to that question?
Yeah, absolutely. All the time. Like, we do this a lot. It's kind of become like a hobby of me and my wife, like, you know, like a paranormal date night, you know, get some dinner and then try to find a place to do like a ghost box. For a while, we were going to, there's a place here in Indianapolis called the Hannah House. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it has ties to like being a part of the Underground Railroad and stuff like that. And it's reportedly haunted, but we would go there, and we didn't enter onto the property or anything, but we would be, you know, sitting where we can watch the house. And the biggest one I remember, I'm almost always on the box, but this time like Paige was on the box. And, you know, we were sitting in our car, and I said, how many fingers am I holding up? And it said, we can see all of your large hands. And it said, put it out the window. I'm like, yeah, my hand's out the window, hold it up. And I'm like, okay, I'm holding it up. How many fingers am I holding up? And I was holding up three fingers, and it said three. And I freaked out. I went, holy shit. And then like the ghost kind of chastised me. It's like, you're kind of a lot.
Oh my God. Wow.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
The very first time we were there, because like I said, we do this a lot, and like, full disclosure, like a lot of the time nothing happens. I'd say maybe like 60% of the time you get nothing. But the very first time we ever did it, it was just like we woke up the house. Like it sounded like a full-on conversation. Yeah,
like, yeah, that happened the first time you and JJ did it, right?
We have not ghost boxed any. Oh, are you making a joke?
Okay.
Noah.
You guys woke up the whole house, right? Da-doom-tsh. All right.
Wait, what are we talking about? I thought we were talking about the prank.
We're too into the ghost boxing thing to get on your level, Noah.
All right, fine. Fair enough. Well, you also had like people get pushed downstairs and stuff going back to that house. I didn't want to skip that part, but I was reading you had people get pushed downstairs and like change be thrown from the ceiling as well.
Yeah, lots of stuff happens at Whispers. The last time we were there, the time that I got touched, Paige got touched when we were there too. But like a girl that was on our group got like shoved while she was going down the stairs. And she was extremely upset. I mean, obviously, but she left at that point.
Wow.
And we see doors open and close on their own. There are blue lights in the attic that kind of like float around. They keep the windows like blacked out, so it's not coming from like outside sources.
Well, Jordan, we're kind of coming up on our hour. Before we get you out of here, do you guys have anything that you do want to promote? Do you want to promote maybe tours at that home?
I mean, you can always check out the Whispers Estate if you want. I'm not really invested in it, but it's a neat thing to do.
I love that ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
That's the best kind of endorsement though, because, you know, it's not your own thing. You're just like, hey, this is a cool thing. So That's a genuine endorsement.
It's super cool. It's a super creepy house, and it's the closest I can guarantee somebody to having an experience. But wow. Like I don't get any money from it, like, or anything like that. So
if you're listening, people who run the Whispers Estate, give Jordan some money, because no. He's plugging it on our podcast. So you guys. Yeah. You guys are going to have a lot more visitors coming up.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much for coming on. Those were some really interesting stories. I mean, we kind of ran the gamut of supernatural experiences. It's rare that we get a guest on that has experienced so many different types of supernatural.
I appreciate coming on because, I grew up with this stuff, and like the paranormal is my greatest interest, but I find like a lot of people just don't want to hear about it. So.
Well, I hope you and your wife have a good rest of the night, and tell her to pull some good cards for us from that tarot deck.
Yes.
All right. Take care, Jordan.
All right. You too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan.
We're in May. Are you guys feeling summer? Does it feel like the world's coming back a little bit in your post-vaccine life?
Yeah, it does feel like it's coming back. Yeah, right?
I did improv tonight for the first time.
How did that go?
It was fun. I thought maybe like a year and a half break, I'd be like, oh, maybe I don't miss improv. But once I got up there, I missed it a lot.
Did you feel a little more fearless after like being forced to take a break?
Yeah. I mean, I just felt like I just didn't give a shit anymore about the little things. So I just kind of went for it.
That's kind of the general vibe I'm getting. I think that's why I want to go ahead and get a tattoo. I think that's why a lot of people are like buying and selling their homes. I mean, it's something about that being forced to kind of remove yourself from life. You kind of go, okay, I want this, this, and this. Like, I'm not going to wait anymore.
Yeah,
totally.
I think that we have an advantage really moving forward in the entertainment stuff we do, whether it's improv or acting or whatever, from doing so many episodes of this podcast. I don't know if y'all found, but I mean, it's just so much easier to like interview and interact with people. I hope at some point we do get to do this show on a stage, because I'm curious to see if it translates in front of an audience like it does when it's just us sitting in our homes.
Yeah, that would be really fun to do a live version of the show.
For sure, for sure. Well, Kat, I'm glad you got to do improv. JJ, are you still going to try to do some acting? I know before the pandemic started, you were kind of, dipping your toe in the water.
Eh, probably not. A year of like not having steady employment has made me be like, I really want just like a full-time job.
Yeah. Well, how's your school going? Are you getting close to wrapping that up?
Yeah, one more week, baby.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. Yep. Congrats.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, I don't care what those tarot cards said. I think there's only good things for the future. So
appreciate it. I also don't care what those tarot cards say.
It was scary though when she like at that moment was like, oh, I've been doing these cards and it already says that there's a guy messing with you. And
but you'll be strong. Tarot cards are so subjective. I mean, you can like really like, you get a card and it has like some kind of vague meaning, and then you just read into that what you will,
So JJ and I might go to New Orleans in July.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to get like a proper palm reading or something like that.
Yeah.
I really want JJ to get that.
We should do some research and see if there's like a good ghost tour or something you guys can go on.
Yeah. I've been on one before, I think there.
Yeah, I was trying to think if we had anybody in New Orleans, but we've only interviewed that one person that, kind of grew up in a grandparent's house there, but we haven't made a ton of connections in New Orleans.
So if you're listening to this and you live in New Orleans and you have haunted stories, or you do haunted tours, or you're a medium, we'd love to talk to you because we're going to come there soon. So I don't know. Yeah, that's that.
And witches, if you're listening to this and you're a witch, we want you on our podcast.
We need a call to the witches.
Yes, witches.
There's one fan who's listening to this right now, and she's like, I sent you information. She did. She sent email to us about another podcast where it's like three witches. So I do need to reach out to them and see if they'll hop on. Yeah. So that's on me. But things have just been a little hectic past couple of weeks. But all right, y'all. Well, another fun episode. Good to get us all together and record, and glad things are kind of moving along in the world. It's fun to have music festivals and different things to start looking forward to again.
I'm totally grasping at straws right now, just trying to think of a sketch with the three witches from Macbeth having a podcast.
And with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Kat.